You ready?
Right, I was just going to start off like I was going to do my vlog. I don't know, I usually say, like, I don't know why I was going to do that. I was going to do, like, the date and then the time, but, how you doing, Rory?
I'm good. Yeah, I mean, I'm better than the weather. I've walked here and got absolutely soaked.
Miserable.
Champions League's back.
That's why I'm in my Arsenal top, and that is why Rory is hiding his gut.
I am, actually.
Don't know why. That's why he's got his laptop. If you're watching, thanks, Mum. How you doing, Mum? She don't watch YouTube.
No.
You excited that Arsenal's in the Champions League?
Yeah.
I don't really get excited about Arsenal.
You're not a big fan. However excited I get about Arsenal, there'll always be someone who's five times more excited about Arsenal than me. So I just feel like everyone overreacts to everything in football these days. In sport in general.
I mean, isn't that the whole point, though?
Yeah. I guess so, but it's the way, I find people a bit, like, especially Arsenal fans, like, a bit disrespectful how they talk about other leagues and other teams. And
yeah, but you've got some stupid obsession with, like, other fucking teams. Like, other leagues and stuff. You romanticise it.
Because I grew up without Sky TV, so my only access to football on TV till I was about 12 was like watching Gazzetta dello Sport on a Sunday afternoon. I'd watch all the Italian games and
yeah,
I'd watch Lazio against Verona and get excited about it.
Yeah, but it's not like those leagues are like better than they was back then. The Premier League, like, I feel like you shit on it a bit too much.
Yeah,
why have England fans and English fans of the fucking English league?
No, I'm not that. I'm like, why does, like, it's like a player can, you know, like, do something in Germany for like 10 years in a row and be like a great player, and then they come to England, a bit like Tonali with Newcastle. Everyone's like, oh, this Tonali's quite good, isn't he? Like, yeah, AC Milan spent 30 million euros on him when he was 18. Of course he's good.
Don't, like, be a football snob, like, right. Oh, because you knew him before.
No, but it's not that I knew him before, it's that people act surprised when, I remember they did it when Eden Hazard came to Chelsea. They were like, oh, he's good, isn't he? Well, yeah. He's been rated as, like, the top teenager in Europe, the top young player in Europe for about 5 years. Of course he's good.
Yeah, but not everyone watches all fucking football leagues.
No, and I think that's where my problem is. I think I'm such an all-or-nothing person. I'm either watch something until you're an expert in it, or don't watch it at all, or don't have an opinion. Like, for example,
that is not true.
No, you could put...
Don't have an opinion.
You could put basketball on now, and I would watch it, and I would ask you questions, but I wouldn't talk about... Or UFC, for example, is a good example. You could put UFC on, and I could talk about it and, you know, ask you questions and stuff. But I wouldn't then tomorrow go down the pub and be like, oh, yeah, but then that'd be John Jones is good.
That'd be like, yeah, but that'd be like then if you watch it, and you'd be like, oh, that guy's good. And I'm like, yeah, he's been good. I've been watching, like...
Maybe it's just maybe I'm a hypocrite. Maybe I've got an annoying personality. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but... yeah, 2 out of 2, bad. I don't know. There's kind of like a weird segue to this because I want to talk about, like, we both grew up with single mums.
It's a good subject, actually. It's not something.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
Hopefully. Because obviously, the reason you have your fandom is from your family. Your mum is an Arsenal season ticket holder. Mm-hmm. And I'm an Arsenal fan too, but didn't grow up with, like, football around me because my mum was never interested in it, right? Was it your mum that encouraged you to play football? I know you still had your dad around to some degree. I never really had my dad around.
Yes and no. Because my parents both come from sporting backgrounds, like, my dad boxed and played Irish football and played football when he came over here.
Mm.
So he was always into sport. My older brother, I've got an older half-brother who didn't grow up with me.
Have I met him?
Yeah, you have met him. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
He played football as a kid, so...
He don't look the most athletic, I was going to say.
Do you know what? Yeah? Funny enough, apparently he weren't a bad cricketer and he weren't a bad footballer. But
fair enough, because he's quite short, isn't he? He's like 5'3".
He was like an old school, in like the big man, little man front two.
Apparently,
he was like an old school number nine. He was the little man. He was the Kevin Phillips to the Niall Quinn. He needed a Niall Quinn next to him. But or Shearer and Bellamy, for those around our age, you know, you had Shearer who would go out and win everything.
I'm
and
trying
Bellamy,
to think of a Michael Owen one, because now Michael Owen's annoying as he's got older.
It was Owen and... Was it Owen and Fowler? Owen and Heskey.
Yeah.
It was Owen and Heskey.
Yeah.
So yeah, he played. He was a good cricketer as well.
Mm.
I was crap at cricket. I love cricket.
You're not very good at sports. We've established this.
Yeah.
You've got two sports, football and darts. That's
yeah,
it. That's
other,
what you've been
other than that, I don't
other than that, you get murked on a reg.
No, I'm not a bad fast bowler, but he was like a good cricketer.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Weirdly, I was quite good at hockey. I played two games of hockey in my primary school. And we didn't really have a team. They just put us into the district sports. Yeah. And they picked, like, basically people based off how good they were at football, cricket. And we're like, yeah, you go and play up front. And I got scouted for the county.
Yeah, but you're in primary school. I mean, like, some
I was
of these
11.
Kids, yeah, some of these kids have never played sports. They were just looking for anyone that has got an athletic base. Like, you're not a slouch.
No, I guess so.
You just get murked by
but
me
anyway,
on a race.
Anyway, I could, just, this is...
By most people's average, you're pretty good at sports. By my standards, you're dog shit.
I have to...
Don't let the side
caveat this by anyone listening to this that he regularly beats me at pool, and that is where
at
he's
every
got
other game I can
what
beat
other game
you.
Have you beaten me
no
at?
I'm just, remember I can beat you at any game that isn't darts or football.
We need to play tennis.
Yeah,
I'll
yeah.
batter you at tennis.
You'll get murked at tennis.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're too heavy. You're too heavy to be moving.
Well,
side
you'll be
to side.
Running around. I'll be standing
nah,
in the
you,
same
you're
spot.
You're way too heavy.
Just smashing you on a race.
You're way too heavy to play tennis. Anyway, we will do this. We will sort this out. But I digress.
I've got a new
My mum played darts as well. My mum played netball, actually. Was a good netball player too. So I guess it was just a thing. Like, they're both of that generation, my parents. My dad's a lot older than my mum, but they're both of that generation where, well, when they're old enough to walk, you put them in sports clubs.
Mm.
They did that with me and my brother. And then, by all accounts, they did that with my older brother, and my older sister did swimming as well. I think it was just... I think in that day and age, there was less things to do to get rid of your kids at weekends, and I think it was just that.
We just had TV.
And I think we loved it as well. I think we... The only thing... I can remember, like, being just, like, 7 or 8, and being a Saturday morning, and me being sat downstairs in my football kit, ready at 7 in the morning. Like, can you pass me an ashtray so I can get rid of my chewing gum? It was compromising my ability to speak. So, I guess, but the Arsenal thing, because my dad was Irish, so he never really supported a team. I know now it's different because you get everyone in Ireland supports Man United or Liverpool or Arsenal or whatever. But back then, they didn't really, none of my dad or any of his brothers have football teams. Like, they all go to football.
Yeah.
But like, my dad used to go to Millwall 1 week and Palace the next week because he was from... He played like when he came over, but he probably didn't kick a ball competitively till he was like 21. So there's only like a certain level you can get to if you take up a sport at 21. You know, especially a sport like football where so much of it's technical. You know, if it was something like, I don't know, if it was something like something involving throwing or sprinting or something like that, it's a skill you can develop in you as an adult. But I think with football, it's like with tennis. You'd never meet a top tennis player that didn't start playing when they were like 5.
Yeah.
Like, you can't take up tennis as a 19-year-old and end up in Wimbledon. So, but whereas my mum's family were all Arsenal fans. Like, my nan, my granddad, my uncles, my great-granddad, like, were all just Arsenal. Because they're from Wood Green. So, although I was born in Enfield, they were just all... In Enfield, really, you're either Arsenal or Spurs. Whereas in Islington, for some reason, you're either Arsenal or Man United. I don't know why. But yeah, so yeah, that's the background of my kind of Arsenal supporting, you know.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like you had... did you have a lot of, like, male figures then around and things like that? Like, obviously, growing up with a single mum, there's no dad in the household necessarily, but...
Well, my mum and dad... split up when I was about 15. So most of my remembering just it being just my mum and my brother and me is from like 15, 16 onwards.
Mm.
So I still didn't have a lot of male. My dad didn't, I'm trying to figure out how to word it without sounding too harsh. He just didn't really engage. Like,
no, I get that.
Like,
well, like with mates, you mean with you?
No, with anything. Yeah. Like as in, he'd come to watch me play football every now and again, but even then, he wouldn't take any interest in the team or anything. He'd just stand there, watch. He'd literally stood on the side of the pitch, smoking a fag. And then at full
Why
time,
are you even here?
Yeah, at full time, he'd go. And then, like, even, like, with... Like, my brother used to bunk school. When my mum and dad split up, my brother was about 12, 13. he used to get dropped off at the school gates by my mum, and then he'd walk to my dad's, and he'd just turn up at my dad's, and my dad would be like, "Ain't you got school today?" He'd be like, "Nah," and he'd just go, "All right." Wouldn't ask any questions. Mm. Wouldn't, you know, like, just. I don't think my dad could have named any of my teachers. Couldn't have. It just nothing. Like, yeah. Just. Yeah. So. It's just a weird one, and it, blokes of that generation just didn't give a fuck, I think.
Did you like growing up with a single mum? Did you ever feel like you were missing out? Like,
I felt like, because my dad was like 50 when I was born, so I felt like I wished my dad would have been more, I say active, but he was like fit into like his 70s. I mean, present. I wish he'd have, like, I used to see like other people, like, when they got to like 20, for example, would like go down a pub with their dad and their dad's mates. Whereas my dad would go, even when I was like 18, my dad would go back to Ireland, and he'd just go on the piss for 3 or 4 days with like his brothers and stuff.
Yeah.
But I was never invited. Like, it was never like, he would go and it was a men's thing, and I weren't involved in that. Mm. So, and then I look at people I know now, and I see them like, you know, they go and socialise with their parents or with their dad, yeah, and stuff like that. I've never had that. Yeah. I mean, my dad's taken me to football probably half a dozen times in his life. And we'd go to, like, wherever was cheapest in London. So we'd go to Brentford. If they were doing two kids for £2, we'd go Brentford. But that was only probably
When you was out on those days, was he like, was it fun?
Yeah, it was more like, we'd watch the game together and we'd he'd be like, "Oh, watch this geezer, he's good. Watch it. It was almost like a coaching session. He'd be like,
"If he goes to you, like, we're going to the football this weekend," you'd be like, "Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it'd be brilliant. Yeah. I'd be like, I'm going to do something with it." But he never, we're talking about 5 or 6 times in 16, 15 years of us living together that he ever, you know, that I ever did anything with him outside of the house.
Yeah.
And even in the house, he'd just sit there, just smoking cigarettes and watching racing. I used to hate horse racing because I'd come in from school and he'd just be sat there.
Really?
Just fag on the burn watching the horse racing.
No, you love a gamble.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, now I love it. But can you imagine as like a 10-year-old sitting there having to watch horses?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, yeah, I guess so, because you'd want to watch something that's a bit more interesting, because, like, watching the racing is boring.
If you ain't
it's not
had
like
a bet,
a good sport.
If
you, yeah. no, you have if to have a bet to enjoy it.
Well, no, that's why people...
It's not a spectator sport.
No, it's not. It is when you're, like, 6 pints of Guinness.
Yeah, yeah, and like, you're fucking winning.
And you're fucking winning. Yeah, it's brilliant.
The horses are coming in good.
Yeah.
But,
you're, like, chuffing on a vape.
Yeah.
Screwing up betting slips, throwing them around.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what about you, then? What's your... Describe to me an average sort of like Wednesday afternoon in the winter coming home from school in the alley house.
Great question, actually. It would be, so, you know, come home from school, watch a bit of TV, dinner will be ready, eat dinner, that would be about 5 o'clock, mind you, like, not 7, 8, whatever, 5 o'clock dinner. Then my mum would watch Home and Away on ITV.
What time was this on?
That was on 5:36.
Okay.
Then she'll watch that and maybe like another show, do some washing up. We'd be watching TV, then like EastEnders or Coronation was on, then we'd go into our room, we'd play games or something, and then it was bedtime. But that was probably like Monday to Friday. That was a lot of my childhood.
And was you, because as soon as I was old enough, like as soon as I was allowed, I used to go and play football.
We were only allowed to play outside, right outside the front, and we only had a few friends, so there wasn't a lot of, my mum was quite protective growing up, so we couldn't stray off far. There weren't no like clubs to go to, like football clubs. There was nothing really that we could do. There was nothing we would do. I always wanted to do stuff. Like, I always remember, like, you know, one of the reasons why I played rugby at uni was because I always wanted to play for a fucking team. Like, I always want to play something.
I just want to be part of a team
and play. Like, I think I always had an interest in sports, but because, you know, growing up with a mum that wasn't really interested in sports, and, like, you know, we grew up with not a lot. Like, you look back on it, like, you know, the way my mum describes it, and it's exactly right. She goes, "You guys had everything. I went without." Mm. And it's right, because growing up, it didn't feel like we were poor, but we weren't. We weren't poor, I guess. You know, my mum did everything she needed to do to make sure we had what we had.
I guess in an inner city school, like if it was Islington now, you probably might have felt, because I remember Enfield being Enfield where when I was growing up, there was a clear definition between rich kids and poor kids.
Yeah, well, it's different.
And,
yeah.
And I was never poor enough to be one of the poor kids. Like, yeah. I used to go around mates' houses and they wouldn't have carpet and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We were in between. We weren't poor like yeah. everyone. Some people
same
were
as,
poor.
Same as me.
And then, but then there wasn't people in my school that were rich. There were a
yeah,
few,
so
like...
there was rich kids in my
there
school.
Was a couple, like, posh white people in my primary and stuff. And but most people was lower class, like, no middle class people.
That's interesting.
Yeah, we didn't have middle class people.
See, we had like
secondary school. If you were middle class, you couldn't survive in my secondary school if you were middle class.
No.
You'd get murked, like, you'd just get battered. They'll fucking rob you every day. That school's not built for that shit. Like, yeah. And I mean, but my mum, you know, it didn't necessarily work for all of, you know, me, all my brothers, but she was very protective over us and didn't let us stray too far away. And you know, I was very obedient growing up. Like, I was, you know, I was...
You still are quite obedient.
Yeah, I am. Like, I am to a degree. You know, I mean, at least to her. Not maybe not to the rest of the world, but to her.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Do you feel like she's less strict now with your younger brother?
She was less strict... Well, with me in particular, she was less strict with everyone but me. But...
Oh, so she was most strict with you, is what you're saying?
Yeah, but it's because I was the only one that really take it. But, yeah, because I always felt like... Yeah, I was just like just getting trouble for being a good boy, but you know, but when you look back on it, it was because of the stresses that she had. She had no one really to help her. She had absolutely no one, so everything was on her. So, you know, whenever she needed a little bit of help out and cleaning and stuff, and we were just lazy, you know, she'd get pissed off. Why is this here? Why is this there? And you know, maybe she'd overreact to a degree, but you can understand why looking back.
Yeah, I remember when. See, my mum, when she had no one, was probably when I was, you know, 16, 17. We moved to Epping. So we moved to, like, a nicer area. She divorced my dad. And it should have really been a time for her to sort of, like, enjoy just her and her kids.
Yeah.
But me and Miles, when, like, it was almost like... even though we never really respected our dad in the way you're meant to...
Fucking
but yeah, I don't know what's going on. So, dude. Arsenal are at home tonight.
Yeah.
Which means the traffic in Italy is at a standstill. Oh, yeah. Everyone's cutting through this road and losing their heads.
Terrible drivers.
Yeah. So, by the time we moved to Epping, I'd say I was 17, Miles was like 14. And then going through probably like the next 5-6 years, it was just the three of us. And my mum was like trying to run a house, living in a nice area, doing it all on one wage. And me and Miles were just... fuck us. Like,
do you think that there was ever, do you think that she could ever have disciplined you or made you right?
No,
like, it gets to a certain point where
age.
It's just
like at that age, like, and it was, do you know what, my mum's a typical, like, she brushes everything under the carpet, but
yeah.
We used to just, like, I remember we used to, like, not kick her out, but we'd be like, oh mum, we're having a New Year's, this is, by this point I'm maybe 20 and Miles is like 17, 18. And us and a few of our mates would just be like, oh, mum, can you go out this Friday? Because we want to have a house party. And my mum would leave.
I could never imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Madrid have just scored in injury time.
Our man Bellingham.
Your man Bellingham.
What a piece of shit you are.
What a player.
He is class.
Yeah. It would be like, yeah, mum, can you go out? And we'd just have loads of people around.
Yeah.
Just, everyone always respected the house, to be fair, because... it's two boys, isn't it? And it's our friends at the time, you know, still friends of ours now, but they would never let anyone take liberties in my mum's. I remember my birthday one year, like, it was like my 23rd birthday or something. It was just carnage. Like, it was just, there was no one in. It was just absolute carnage. Like, there was probably 40, 50 people in our house. Like...
did you clean up or did you leave a mess for her?
I remember my mum coming back the next morning. I remember my mum coming home the next morning. And she turned up with 15, 20, you know, double cheeseburgers?
Yeah.
From McDonald's. And we just walked in. Like, bear in mind, she probably, if there was like...
and what, just everyone just sprawled on the floor?
Just everyone just dishing them out to everyone.
What a legend.
Everyone's like, legend. And she didn't care.
My mum would be dishing out, like, stab wounds.
I just remember, like, like, there must have been like 30, 40 people there at night. It went on till 5 in the morning. Music was really loud. She must have squared it with the neighbours before she went.
Where did she stay?
At my auntie Elaine's, usually. Or she'd go, or she'd, you know, wherever. But yeah, probably my auntie Elaine's. And she just came in, and she just must have gone to McDonald's and just spent about 30 quid on cheeseburgers, and she was just dishing them out to everyone. And a couple of people were like forcing it down where they'd been doing drugs the night before. And, honestly, like,
oh my god, your mum must have seen like coke everywhere,
mate. I remember one. But she either didn't see it, or she pretended not to see it. I remember.
Yeah,
once,
of course, man. So she probably saw it on your fucking nose.
I remember once, and this was Miles. This wasn't me. Went, oh, I'm gonna have a few of the boys around tonight. I was probably about 24. So Miles would have been about 21, and there was all the usual characters there.
All the scumbags,
and my mum basically was like, alright, fine, but I'll be back at midnight. But it was only the boys there, so Miles didn't mind. So anyway, and you know, in my house in Epping, like, you've got like the living room here, but the front door's like almost like right there.
Yeah.
So everyone's just sitting up. I think there might have been a boxing match on. So it was like the 5:30 football game, and then we'd like flick a Spanish game on, and then at like 9, whatever boxing match was on would come on. So about midnight, probably like 5 or 6 fights into the boxing, everyone's just sitting around talking shit, as you do when you're in someone's house and there's gear flying everywhere.
As you do.
And my mum's just came in. Just like, come home. Hi, I'm home. I just walked in like that, and I stood there, and just is just talking to me. I'm like, all right, boys, you all right? Who's fighting? And I stood there and had a conversation. But the whole time, on the side, someone has got like a DVD case with about 6 lines racked up on the side. And he knows it, so he's where you are. He knows it's there. And my mum's there talking to my brother here. And he's just slide, just reached down and just slid it under the sofa that he's sitting on. And she either didn't see it or pretended not to see it. And I remember just going, oh my god.
Was it, with that though, like, did you feel bad? You know what I mean? Like, you're not that, maybe you're off the chain, like, a bit wild, yeah, but you're never trying to disrespect your mum, I guess.
No, of course not. And also, like,
in that moment, like, you're scared of the repercussions?
No, I was scared of the person whose gear it was. If my mum would have clocked it, or if my mum would have chosen to clock it, he would have been ostracised. He'd have been out of the circle. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like,
do I know him?
No, you don't.
Right.
But you know the person I know them through, right? Yeah. And he was like, nice enough lad.
Yeah.
And not even the biggest druggie out of any of us. Like, probably the least.
Yeah, well, look, you're just having fun. You're not being fucking scumbags.
And that's what I mean. I think there was probably an element in my mum's mind of, well,
at least it's in my house.
If they're here and in my house, and there's 5 lads, and I think my girlfriend at the time was in the house as well, but like midnight she'd gone up to bed. And that same night she came down later and was like, you do realise they're all doing drugs here? And I was like, no, they're what? And she was like, no, you're doing it as well, aren't you? And I was like, nah. And then anyway, I ended up going up to bed.
That's hilarious.
But she was like, and the next morning she was like, I can't believe how casual they were being about it. And I was like, yeah, because every time you get on drugs, you don't have to go off your nut and start headbutting walls. Like,
yeah.
We was literally having a few beers, watching the boxing, and doing some gear.
Yeah.
That's
weird though. I never grew up like taking coke or anything like that. And at this point, I've done it twice. I'll tell it. Don't tell my mum. But like, I always find I never associate like the casual like snort. Do you know what I mean? If we sat here and someone wanted to blaze and like a weed nut, you know, something you chill out with, I would never have associated. I've got the boys around. Let's just do a couple lines while we watch the boxing.
Well, so
what would be the point in that?
It's funny because I started doing coke as like a party drug. Like, oh, we're going.
It's a party drug, though, isn't it?
But it's not in the end. When you get so used to it, you almost. you almost prefer to do it in this setting. Like, you're at home, smashing up a few lines, watching the boxing, talking with your mates. Like, you're
all fucking talking at the same time. You're all fucking talking at the same time. As if you knew that conversation must be horrendous.
I was out, so I haven't done drugs regularly for probably 6 or 7 years now. Yeah. Right. Have had a couple of dabbles. Yes. Right.
But we've had one or two.
Yeah. But I don't. I'm not like a drug taker anymore. No. Right. And I was out a couple of months ago, and everyone who I was with, and the reason I don't do drugs anymore is a thing for me. I don't like how I become on it. I don't like the decisions I make when I'm on it. I don't like how I feel rough for 3 days afterwards, and I don't like how I never know when to stop. And it's the only drug. Me, you, and Mark could be out, for example, and we could drink 8 pints. And on the 9th pint, I'll go, nah, boys, I've had enough tonight. And that's fine.
Yeah.
With gear, that's never happened. It's never been a thing with me. I do not know when to say when to say no. So anyway, it's a Friday night. I'm out. I've had a few beers. And they start smashing up gear. And I don't want to be that guy who's like, no, I won't have it around me. So they're all doing it. And just gradually, as the night's going on and on and on, like, they're talking more and more and more shit. And I'm like, I got to go. Like, I've just got to leave. Because being around, I would rather be around a drunk than a fucking people that
100%.
But yeah, I think my mum probably viewed it. If she did know what we were doing, I think she probably viewed it as there's only really two places around Epping, or two different settings that you can do loads of coke in. And one is in someone's house, and two is in some horrendous pub with a load of other lunatics. So you not only will there be your son and his 5 mates doing coke, there'll be another 50 people in equally small groups all doing coke, all in the same pub, and invariably at the end of the night it might kick off.
Yeah.
And I think my mum probably thought, well, at least they're here. Like, if they're here and they're doing whatever, then they're under my roof and they're safe to a point.
Was your mum strict? Would you have considered her strict when you was growing up?
Yes.
What was she like as a mum?
When I was growing up, strict.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, I wasn't even allowed to walk to school on my own until I was, like, 13 or something.
What happened then? When did it start changing? Because for me, right, like, you're talking about your mum coming in and seeing lines of coke. We're in my flat at the moment, and my mum used to clean my flat. And now I've turned into a big, massive weed smoker. It's like on a daily basis. Actually, I'm a bit annoyed I didn't roll one up for this pod right now. I had one before, but it was just a small one. She went into my little whiskey cupboard and she found my... She went into my whiskey cupboard. That's where I kept my cigarettes, my weed and my ashtray. And I wouldn't empty out the ashtray. I come back one day and she'd empty out the ashtray.
Your mum's of that generation. She knows what a spliff looks like as well.
Well, she used to fucking do it herself so she can shut her mouth. But I love you, mum. But I was laughing at my reaction. My heart dropped. As a 33-year-old man, like, my heart dropped.
What did she say anything?
No. She brought it up fucking... This is how she is. She brought it up a month later. Because she's waiting for me to say something.
But in an angry way?
Not at all. No, well, look. She gave up... This idea of being strict, she gave up probably... Well, essentially when I moved out to a degree. You know, I moved out when I was 30. You know, she had it. You know how... Anyone that knows me knows my mum. Or knows how much she means to me because I talk about her a lot. But, you know, I was very much under the thumb for a long, long time when it came to her. And, yeah, she was very strict. And I remember when we started drinking in 1920s, when the only time I really started boozing proper was at uni when I started playing rugby. And then I was just getting fucking shit-faced. And she would say for years, even, like, she would tell people, oh, my boys don't drink. And I'm like, we're getting fucking shit-faced.
So what happened the first time you went home drunk?
She pissed. She was angry. The next morning, for
was it at uni for quite a long time. Would it have been before that?
It would have been during college, actually, because we started drinking a bit during college. So maybe like 17, 16, 17, 18. But she for years, she would be angry the next day. And we wouldn't talk and things like that. She'd be disappointed. And it was really hard, actually. Like,
same for your brothers as well, or just you?
Me and Matthew, because we were the only ones that really socialised in that way. She was pretty, like, she didn't like drinking. She didn't like being out too late. You know, when we started going out, we had to make sure we was in by midnight. And then, you know, we'd go late to 1 and 2, and she'd be angry that we got home late. What time do you think this is? And blah, blah, blah. maybe going into her 20s, she could deny it, because me and Matthew were both fucking drunks, kind of, you know, we were both just get bladdered. Like,
I've seen both of you very drunk.
Exactly. On numerous occasions. That's what it was like back then, yeah. You know what I mean? And yeah, so she was quite strict. I mean, she was very strict growing up as well. I'm just trying to think of, like, how does it get to the point where...
How does it get to the point where we're doing that?
Well, no, because you're pretty... Back then, you were pretty loose.
I think it would have been when we moved to Epping from Enfield. And I think her sort of train of thought might have been, well, they're out of that area where they could get in that much trouble now. Like, I think that in...
No, she was wrong.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is I think if we'd have stayed in Enfield, we probably... Actually, I don't really know. I don't really know what Enfield's like for kids growing up now, but I think we probably would have never got involved in cocaine the way probably. We did.
It's hard to know
because I don't...
There's a lot of black people in Enfield now, or Edmonton, kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, but I think coke is definitely like a white person's drug.
Yeah,
and I think... I don't know. I reckon that chances are we probably wouldn't have been exposed to coke. Like, when we used to drink around the Epping Forest area, it was just open in most pubs.
Yeah.
Everyone was on it. And it was only a matter of time before, especially people like me and my brother, we could have been brought up as the best boys ever, but ultimately trouble finds both of us in different...
And what put you in those environments? Was it the football, wasn't it? Like,
no.
Because your mum's not taking you there.
No, what first ever put me in that environment is I knew a bloke through football.
Yeah.
And I just moved to Epping, and it was a bank holiday Monday. And this bloke was like, he'd have a drink, but he weren't a druggie at all. And I knew him through football. He was a few years older than me, and it was like a bank holiday Monday, and most of my mates were still in Enfield, but I knew that he lived in Faden Boyce, which is the next place down from Epping. And I went, oh, mate, you doing anything today? Like, sorry, it was a bank holiday Sunday, so I didn't have work on the Monday. And I didn't want to get the train all the way into London and then come back out to Enfield. And anyway, I just went to him, like, you up to anything today, mate? Like, I ain't got nothing to do, sort of thing. And he was like, oh, nothing much, but I'm going for a beer in a pub. I'm not going to name the pub, just in case this ever makes it big. But meet us in there. And I'd already done gear maybe once or twice, where I'd been giving it on nights out, but I would never have had a clue where to buy it. And I met him in this pub, and this pub had literally a drug dealer in the corner. They were like, if you want gear, he sells it in here. Don't buy it off anyone else in here. And you could go up, and you could go, I'll have 2 grams, and I'll have...
What did he look like?
He was a white geezer about... I'd say...
Was he balling? Chains? Watch?
Nah, he was like, drove a van. Tracksuit, drove a van, had a dog with him.
Yeah.
Like, just a... All right. Yeah, I work for my old man's delivery firm. Yeah, anything you want, mate. And he had like a lunchbox. This is how bizarre it is. Yeah. He had like a lunchbox.
He must have raked it if he's got that entire pub.
He had the whole pub, and it wasn't a big pub, but it was like a normal pub around here or whatever. A
couple hundred quid every night.
But he was also a raging gearhead and puffhead. So yeah. I reckon he told me that he'd done gear every day since he was like 14 years of age or something. Yeah. So
what the fuck was he like?
He was nuts. He was a nutcase. But you have to be, if you're serving up to a pub of 80 people, you have to be a bit of a nutcase, because otherwise someone eventually will try and turn you over.
For sure. Yeah.
Like, he was nuts, and he used to drive a van. He goes, yeah, sometimes I get up in the morning, I'm tired, so I just have a little bump on the way to work. He was bragging about. He goes, then I smoke a spliff before lunch, so I was hungry by lunchtime. Like, lunatic. But I was going to say he was about 40, but he was probably about 30. But to me, at 19, he looked about 40.
Yeah.
And
well, shit, by the way he lives his life, but he's probably like 26.
He might be Ovis now. He's like, probably, you know, I remember being in this pub and being like, what, I can just go and buy as much as I want, like, over there. And even like the owner of the pub, like, was like, yeah, he's got free rein. He'll be in the garden next week, and you could literally go like, oh yeah, I'll have some next week, what time will you be? I used to text him and be like, what time will you be in the pub?
Yeah.
And like, it'd be the sort of easy, like, you'd go around his flat after the pub had shut and you'd snort it in there as well. It was almost like he was just, I don't know, it was like a really blurred line between a drug dealer and then, like, but he'd also hang around with the people he sold.
Yeah, he was both, innit? He was just the guy with the connect, really.
Yeah.
But then, you know, if in that instance where, all right, you're going to say to your mum, I'm going to go out to this place or to the pub, your mum will be like, right, see you later. Be careful.
Oh, yeah, she'd drop us down there.
Yeah, yeah, just straight off the bat, like, because that.
Yeah, she'd pick us up as well. Yeah. She'd pick up. She'd like, so we'd be done at like, and we'd always like buy some to take home with us.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, like, my mum would not let me out. Yeah, there's absolutely no way. What time are you coming back? Who are you going to be with? That sort of stuff. Yeah, she was right.
We'd text her at like midnight and be like, "Can you come pick us up?" And I think again, she just didn't want us roaming around everywhere, so she'd come pick us up. We'd both buy one to bring it home with. She wouldn't know then.
Well, if I call my mum or text my mum to come pick me up, I might as well just stop living.
Oh, my mum's I mean, I haven't had my mum pick me up for years.
Yeah, yeah, your mum's good like
my,
that.
My brother still does. Like, my brother will. I just think my mum almost thinks her mindset is almost like, well, boys will be boys, but if I know where they are, I have an element of control over it. Like, I know that, like, if I'm picking them up, I know they're home safe. If I'm dropping them somewhere, I know where they are. Like, I just think it was that, because I don't think it's that she stopped. Well, she definitely didn't stop caring, because she's still a warrior. Yes, she's still like,
she,
you know.
She cares more now, more than ever.
Yeah. It's just that she
pick
thinks.
Your battles.
And she probably just thinks, I can't stop them doing whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
And it was the same, like, even, like, if I was around, like, so me and my younger brother have both got a really good mate who we'd go out with him a lot.
You're getting very good at that.
Yeah, I'm getting very good at that. I'm getting very good at that. And his mum was very much the same. His mum was like, oh my God, this is I can't believe I'm going to tell this story. So Miles and him went out once and went into a pub, got drunk, like a local pub, and he lived in Hackney. They got hammered, and Miles ended up in a row with an Irish geezer about Gaelic football or about hurling or something.
Some nonsense.
Some shit. Nonsense, right? Bear in mind, they're probably 20 and 22 or something at the time. And Miles has gone, the bloke's gone, oh, I'm done speaking to you, you little prick, I'm going for a piss. And Miles has gone, when you come out of that toilet, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. And the bloke's gone, yeah, of course you fucking will, blah, 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 like that. And as the bloke's gone in the toilet, Miles has gone to our mate, like, I'm going to beat the shit out of him when he comes back, just so you know. And our mate was like, all right, but don't, you know, if you're going to beat the shit out of this geezer, like, it was like a Sunday night, so there was no one in the pub. He was like, if you're going to beat the shit out of this geezer, you're going to have to proper beat him up, because you can't give him a slap, let him run away, and then you know, you know, you've then got someone after you. So anyway, they just beat the shit out of this geezer when he come out. They've gone back to my mate's mum's house, and she's like, open the door, and he's like, like that. So she's grabbed my brother and dragged him into the bathroom, like, run the bath, and she's like, he's drunk, like, she's cleaning him, like, cleaning all the blood off him.
Yeah.
And after about 2 or 3 minutes, she's like, hang on a minute, I can't find the cut. He's like, oh no, it's not my blood. And she's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Get in the bath. Like, he just sat there and let my mate's mum just. But she was very much the same. She knew boys were going to be boys. She knew, she worried, because she told me before that she worried.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But she would rather, it was almost like, she'll get angry, but as long as you come back here, as long as I know where you are, as long as you're safe. It was that sort of thing. But also, I feel like with his mum, there was more of a respect as you're an adult, so it's none of my business what you do. Whereas I think my mum would be a bit more probing, like, what are you up to, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But I think there's a, and funnily enough, she was a single mum. Like, he had a stepdad, but her husband had died, so she for a while had raised my friend on his own.
Mm.
So there was that element of like, okay, so it's just me now. I've got to look after my kids, and she was very.
But she found someone.
She found someone. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's interesting that, because, I mean, sometimes my mum had seen someone for a while. When we was teenagers.
Is that the same guy she's with? Is she still with the same guy she's with?
Frank, I mean, they're not together. Is that, they're companions to a degree. She can't stand the fucking guy. But
sounds like most of our parents' marriages, yeah, to be
fair. Well, this is it, right? This is kind of where I'm going to get to, because there's also got to be a different type of mentality with the type of single mum or woman that's just not going to see anyone anymore. It's like, there was probably no chance my mum was ever going to really settle down with a man again. And I always remember thinking, growing up, like, when I was younger, like, I'd wish my mum just found, like, I don't know why, I always thought, like, oh, I just really wish my mum just
put herself there. We was the opposite.
Yeah. Your dad was still there.
My dad was still there and still alive.
Yeah. So, like,
but we used to say to my mum, if you bring a geezer home, we'll beat him up.
Yeah. Like, and to be fair,
which is outrageous.
Well, that's probably down to the fact that, you know, I don't know, so you get into any detail you want around it. Your dad, you know, you was present around enough to see your dad and how he was as a dad. Whereas my one lived in Kenya, and I didn't really have, I never had much context for like, like, men are shit, or the, like, you know, there was no reason for me to.
Did your mum used to say men are shit or anything like that?
No, not like that. No, she wasn't like that at all. No, not at all. She did say, like, my dad was the nicest man she ever had, or the man that was nicest to her when they saw each other. I don't think it was for very long, but, you know, my mum sort of had her troubles. But
so did she have? I know, I realise your dad's not with us anymore, but did she have a good relationship with him up to when he passed? Or
I guess kind of, but he was just never around. He would come and visit. They were never together. And
would she ask for money for you?
No, my mum would never ask money for anyone. Yeah. She would just say to him, he's a tight bastard. You know, I mean, he's some big hotshot in Kenya, and whenever he comes over, he can't even get his hand out of his fucking pocket. But she thinks everyone's cheap.
But that's a problem. Like, now that wouldn't roll.
What?
That wouldn't run now. Like, you couldn't just, if me or you had a kid now, and...
But my mum would have never been that type of person.
No, I know. You know what I mean?
She wouldn't...
I guess
you can go fuck yourself.
What, she wouldn't have took the money?
Nah. I mean, like, if it was offered, but I don't know if she would have, like, fought for it, or I don't know, really, to be honest. It's an interesting, I've never really thought about that.
Because my mum's biggest complaint...
My mum's very proud.
Yeah, my mum's biggest complaint about my old man was that, like, he'd work for... Like, I remember once he went to Cardiff for, like, 2 months on, like, a contract to build the IKEA.
Mm.
And he come back, like, he was on ridiculous money, like 200 quid.
Yeah, but when they go away to work, they work, get that money, and then they go fucking blow it away in it on booze and hookers and gambling, and come back with nothing.
He come back with, like, something outrageous, like he'd been earning like $1,000 a week for like 10 weeks, and had all his accommodation and food paid for, and he should have come home with about $8,000, and he come home with about 1,200 quid, and gave me and my brother a oneer each, so we were buzzing.
Yeah.
My mum was like, where's the fucking money? But it turned out that he'd been going on a piss every night.
Yeah, that's what happens.
But that should have been enough to divorce him.
Yeah, but I mean, well, what do you think about that then?
I just can't imagine. I can't, like, my old man, like, I've just spent the weekend with my uncle from Dublin, right?
Mm.
What a guy. And we had a great laugh, and we had a load of...
The one that was yelling in the pub...
Great guy.
I'll take your word for it.
No, he's a fantastic guy. He's just loud. But anyway, he's a lot like my dad. Like, loves to be Jack the Lad, loves to be like the main man, loves to be the first up the bar. But also, he's got 3 daughters, and he'd always make sure that all 3 of them were looked after. Mm. Whereas my old man was all of that, but would never
look after no one.
Just would never. It would bother me. Like, because he came back from that Cardiff trip, and like then just had like 6 weeks not working.
But did you, as a child, was you hopeful, urging your mum to say, was you conscious of anything around that, or no, divorce, or
as a child?
You're more looking back, thinking like, how could she have been with him?
I've said this to my mum. I said, how did you put up with a geezer who barely worked, or who worked for 4 weeks and then had 2 months off? And you was working 2 jobs sometimes and didn't really do nothing about it. Mm. She told my missus, she was like, I knew that me and Rory's dad weren't going to last from when we've been married for 2 years. And Cess was like, hold on, you were married for like 15. So that must have meant she was miserable for 13 years.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I think, and obviously I don't know from the other side, because you have your lived experience and I have my lived experience, but sometimes I think it'd be better off being how you were, not having a dad on the scene, than having a dad who made your mum miserable and who made you miserable and who made the whole house miserable, only for them to get divorced in the end anyway. I don't know.
Well, I often think that that's why you know, I don't know what type of variables go into the situation that you live in, but I'm incredibly grateful for the mum that I had or have. Like, you know, that's why I love her so much. That's why everyone that knows me knows her, because like she would do anything for her children. She was never going to stay with anyone that was not going to be good enough for her kids. Her life changed when she had children.
Mm.
Her life became her children. Once she had children, she couldn't have shit people around her anymore.
Mm.
So she would not have tolerated that.
That. Whereas I think my mum viewed it as the boys need their dad. The boys need a dad. Whereas actually she was probably wrong. But I just think ultimately she was doing what she thought was right, but
yeah, right and wrong's a hard one because it depends on how you picture yourself. It depends on how you picture yourself at this point and your upbringing and where you stand. So like, because for me, it's taken me a while to get to this point, but I am very proud of the person I am. I'm happy with who I am. I feel largely satisfied, although I want more. I sometimes think like I wish my mum maybe would just have chilled out a little bit when I was younger and you know, allowed me to kind of spread my wings. But you got to understand like the life she had and what she did for me and for my brothers. And it sounds corny and stuff, but it's fucking true. And that's why I want to like talk about it, because it's the reason why I think about it is thinking around how, like, how do you think that it affected you? Do you think that growing up with the mum that you had, how has it shaped your personality? How has it shaped your outlook on people? How has it shaped your outlook on women? Because for me, I feel like because of the mum that I have and the amount of love and respect I have for her, I've never really been the type of person to want to disrespect women in a certain way. I've always been quite mindful that I want to be a good dad when I get the opportunity to do that. I always felt like I was quite... It's weird now. I feel... I get on really well with women, and I think that's because of
the situation. I get on really well with women, funny enough. I think,
yeah, exactly, and not really. I was thinking about it on the way home that really, in terms of like boy mates, it's only really happened from like 20 onwards since I started playing rugby and getting more into a culture where there are different types of men and understanding what that is to be a man, or male, I guess, attributes or personality types. Because I always thought like I was quite effeminate because I'm a very emotional guy. I'm sensitive, I'm caring, and all these things that I always perceive men not to be, but I am. But then
100%.
Going in these environments where it's like lads, I also feel I've had a lot to learn from it, but I also enjoy that too. It's not like but because I just had my mum basically for the first 20 years of my life before I started playing rugby, it was just I never really had any men around me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I always felt
I would like, say they're the best example of men,
no,
mind you. Like no, uni rugby lads and the sort of shit we did.
No, they're not.
Going on tour.
But it's like, so funny because I've always been so comfortable around the lads thing because that was all I saw from my dad. My dad was hard, like never saw any emotion out of my dad.
Mm.
Never saw like with football and stuff, he'd be like, no, when you get kicked. My old man reminds me a lot of Roy Keane. That is his sort of like persona. He's very like,
really?
Yeah, very, other than the money, but very like, just hard. You can't get nothing out of him. Whereas my mum was quite the opposite. So I've always been very comfortable in the lads around the boys. But I do actually find women probably more interesting and easier to talk to. And I think I get that from
them. Because you're not hard like that either. I think we're both very sensitive and emotional people, innit? And I think that we're, like, I guess maybe in touch with it a little bit, I guess. I don't know, not sound yeah. too, like, you know, no homo.
Yeah.
But, no.
Do you prefer being managed by men or women, by the way?
Ooh, tough one. I actually don't think I care. I think I just prefer to get managed by someone that's good.
Yeah, see, I've only ever had probably two men managers that I like, all the rest are women.
I've had some excellent women managers. I've had some bad women managers. I've had some excellent male managers. I've had some bad, you know. But I think because I think that now I think I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm not overly masculine. I'm not overly feminine. And like now I can exist in a lot of environments where it's like, you know, I understand where men come from. And I don't think I understood it for such a long time because I was in this. All I had really was my mum around me. And yeah. Having to go out there and actually sort of define, because I know at one point, and we'll probably end this soon because Arsenal just scored, I want to, on one pod, I want to talk about what it's like to be a man, and maybe this should have been a bit of a crossover with one, because
we can do it again though, because I've enjoyed this. I've actually probably enjoyed talking about this as much as any of the other ones.
Well, it's just, yeah, I don't know, like, we don't always have to be like talking about sports and shit, and I don't, it's more just because as I'm growing up now, you tend to look more on I tend to be quite introspective, and I've lost him to the football, by the way.
No, him. I'm just seeing whether it's offside or not.
Yeah, I was just about to get real deep, and now he's just not even looking.
No, at go me. On, no, go on.
Dickhead. Just like a man. Yeah. What was I talking about?
You were talking about introspecting.
Yeah, because I feel like for me, I look in and I try and look at, all right, what makes me, what makes me tick, and recognising the influence that growing up with just a single mum and how's that shaped me into now actually thinking about how am I actually going to be a man, because I've never really had an example. I've started to succeed in certain areas of my life since I came out of my mum's household, and I don't in my mind I don't really have an example to follow, and a lot of what I've got to do now is really just kind of make my own way.
Yeah, I think separating from your parents is as important as the bond you have with them when you're kids. Like, you have to be able to, like you said about making your own way, you have to be able to separate from your parents in order to then have a different relationship with them when you're adults.
But I had to force that.
Oh, mate, me too.
That's the hardest thing about the single mum thing, yeah. Isn't it?
Because my sometimes I feel like my mum doesn't always respect me
as a man. Yeah, like, yeah.
Like, she's getting better. But I have to put...
Still, isn't it?
I've had to... Every boundary that I've got with my mum is there because I put it there. And that's horrible. Having to show your mum boundaries when you feel like you're not being respected as an adult. It's why I try not to get... It's why I try not to, like, rely on my mum for too much, like, help in sense of, like, the last month and a half, I ain't had a car.
She says to me, right, like, she still says to me to this day, the worst thing you ever did was move out of this flat.
I'm out of the house.
I'm like, but, I'm like, why do you still say that? I'm like, I'm earning more money than I ever thought. I'm happier than I've ever... Back when I lived at home, I was called Mr. Miserable.
Yeah.
Like, I was not particularly happy within my 20s doing that all the time. And, because I never have any money. But I'm like, but that's life, Mum. You know that more than anyone.
Yeah.
Like, when you go out there and things are on your shoulders and you rent, it's like, I ain't not got money. Like, I just haven't got the money you got now, because now you ain't got to worry about your kids. Now, you know, we all help each other out. You know, but it's a shame, because even still, it's like, my mum doesn't really come to terms with it. And...
Obviously, my mum never vocalised it like that, but I think it's because...
You know my mum.
Yeah. No. My mum doesn't vocalise it like that, but I feel like in her mind, she is still sometimes... I'm a kid. It's almost like she's found it hard to come to terms with the fact that she birthed this thing and then nurtured it for 16, 18 years, 21 years, whatever, and now all of a sudden, like, he's a man with his own opinions and his own life and his own direction, and she has no control over that. And I think it's probably the same for both our mums. They find it hard to sort of, when the realisation comes that actually, like, this person doesn't rely on me for everything anymore, it's really difficult for them. It's really difficult for them to come to terms with. And I think that's probably completely normal.
Yeah. Do you mind if I ask you a deep question?
Go on.
And we'll leave it on this, and then you can ask me the same.
Hey, go on.
Do you think your mum's proud of you?
Yes. My answer is yes. But I feel like she'd have been proud of me regardless. Like, yeah. I feel like my mum would, as long as I'm not, like, a serial killer or a nonce or a fucking, like, if I'm an upstanding member of society who goes to work, who pays his bills, I think my mum's pretty proud of me. So, go on, what would you say to that?
I'd like to think so. You know,
I think she is.
Yeah, and everyone tells me that, and I think it's one of those great deals of sensitivity. I think I was listening to Ashley, I can't remember his surname, from Top Boy.
You're talking about Asher D?
Ashley, he's the guy that's... he's in Top Boy, the main character. This is so bad. Kano's guy.
Yeah, he was a rapper though, called Asher D.
Yeah, but his actual name, I'd want to pay him respect if you've got your phone on you.
Yeah.
I'm sure his name was Asher
D. Yeah, yeah. But basically, he was on Diary of a CEO, and he was talking about his dad, actually. But
what's his name in Top Boy?
It's Deshane.
Oh, yeah, Asher D, hang on. Ashley Waters.
Ashley Waters. Apologies, Ashley Waters. You're a fucking legend. That's my bad.
How old he is, by the way?
In his 40s?
41.
Yeah, man's been around for time. He's a proper man. He's a proper adult. But he spoke around his relationship with his dad. And I think the thing that he found so hard is because he's quite an ambitious guy, right? And I think I am, right?
Yeah? Yes. You're one of the most ambitious people I know.
Do you reckon, yeah?
Yeah.
And it's hard coming to terms with, like, the idea that your parents just won't care about the things that you care about. And because of that, like, you know, I want her to be proud of the things I'm succeeded in. I don't want her to just be proud of the fact
proud of you anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I will say?
Yeah. I need to be okay with that.
Do you know what I will say with the ambition thing? I get the feeling, bear in mind, I didn't know you when we were, like, young teenagers. I get the feeling that you're a person who probably, when you was a teenager, you probably thought you was going to grow up to either have quite a normal life or quite a shit life. Like, this is it. This is, things might not ever get any better. And now you're in your 20s and 30s, you realise there's a whole world to expand out into. Whereas when I was a teenager, I always had this underlying feeling that I was going to be fantastic. I didn't know what at. And now I realise that actually I would be content with just having a normal life. As long as my idea of success will be literally having a good job, earning good dough, having two or three nice holidays a year, and like a house in Spain to go to. Whereas you like want to make a mark on the world.
Yeah,
which is good. Whereas I just can't be fucked with that. Like, I know that
it's stressful. Like, and it is a lot sometimes. But it's not that I never really thought about it growing up. I never really thought of the world in that respect about, right, can I be happy with a regular life? What this is a response to this idea where growing up I didn't think I was worth anything, or I was particularly smart. And now as I've gotten older and you see the people around you and I see myself and I actually believe that I have something to offer, it's just a case of proving it. But it's the thing that I'm chasing is trying to prove it to my mum, even though she probably will never be proud of the fact that, like, say one day, like, you know, something good happen. Even in my job now, imagine I'm fucking CEO, I've got my own business.
Yeah, she won't care.
I'm earning bare money.
As long as you're happy, she won't care.
As long as, not even if I'm happy, as long as I'm there for her. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Whereas I think
I'm making that sad, but I mean, like, in all the right ways. My mum wants me to be happy. She loves me more than anything. And actually, you know, she when she used to come and see us see musicals, because I remember saying to her, she's like, "Do you like coming out to these things?" Because she never pushed us on anything, but whenever we were in plays or stuff, or when we was in orchestra, she'd come out. And she goes, "Yeah, I'm always proud to see you out there." And it is that. It's like,
has she been to one of your shows yet? Shows?
Stand up? No. But much of it's been during the health problems.
Have you shown her any of the videos?
Yeah, I've shown her videos. She's seen me. She loves it. She she thought about coming out to the first OM, and she never did, which was a shame. But you can understand why.
Yeah, I mean, she can in the future.
Yeah, she will.
I think
said to her, we'll have many other big moments. So, like, even another thing with the ambition is that I've got to continue to get bigger, because at some point when she's ready, she's got to come out to something where she's going to see me be me.
See the OM thing. Yeah. I think that's something really cool. That is, like, that's your thing that you've created from nothing, and that it's got your name on it. And that is something, that's a tangible, cool thing now that you've done. Whether it goes on for the next 10 years or whether it ends in a year's time, it is a tangible thing with your name on it that you created from nothing.
Well, I'll tell you this, right, and it's even making me quite emotional thinking about it, because even the fact that she said that she thought about surprising me was enough for me to be like, right, I'm doing, she's good, like, she is very happy and proud of me, and she wants to see me do well.
That might throw you off if she is rocked up, though.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Nah, to be fair, my mum, I can be whoever I want in front of my mum. She'll probably laugh and then tell me I'm swearing too much. Yeah, and then I've got my little bit about her, so what the fuck is that nonsense?
Yeah.
But I love my mum more than anything in the world, innit? And I always think there's something special about single mums. They're a different type of person.
Also,
they've got a different level of strength and resilience. They're absolute nutcases, by the way.
Yeah, something special.
We can say that because we got single mums. We're both absolutely balmy, but love them to bits.
And also, there's something special about a bond between a mum and her son.
Oh.
Like, massively. Oh, and God. Funny enough, both of our mums just have boys as well.
Yeah, imagine that.
Which is like, which is, it might have something to
all
do with
boys and no man.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. But it might have something to do with their parenting style as well.
Yeah, you never know.
Anyway, well, we've definitely
grew up in the streets, so. Yeah. All right, we're going to watch the rest of this Arsenal game. That was a good one.
That was a very good one. I enjoyed that. Yeah, we're not going to do our five aside this time, but we will next time when we
see
something.
Yeah. I've got a nice one for you. It's your top five fictional best friend group.
What?
I'll tell you about it after.
All right. Oh, I think I know what you mean. Like, if I can make up a friendship group.
Yeah, of like, but not fictional. I mean, like, of like celebrities or anyone. It could be anything. But
would it be would it be based on creating carnage or just having good mates?
Whatever, it depends on what you do as a friendship group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Our friendship group is set for a particular pace. Yeah. When we want to do something else, we call other people. Right. You definitely call other people. I know the people you go out with. I do it one time a year. Like when I'm feeling it.
Yeah. All right.
When I want to go on a fucking coke bender.
Yeah.
All right.
Right, sweet. Trossard.